Welcome to the Growing Leaders Podcast with Tim Elmore. I'm your co-host, Andrew McPeak. Tim, today we're having a conversation that is important. I think a lot of things we talk about are important, but what we're talking about today are really, honestly, the secrets of leadership. And when we think about leadership, oftentimes people think about, you know, somebody standing up and kind of like imparting wisdom. But what we're digging into is not just leadership, but leadership development, which may be the more important conversation.
I think it is. I think there's a lot of talk about leadership. And so there might be leaders at any kind of institution, organization, business, or whatever, that says, well, I got five positions to fill. Let me find an intelligent person that can fog a mirror and put them in charge. And I did that. I can say that because I did it.
Yeah.
I had college students at San Diego State. I needed to fill these positions. I found intelligent students, threw them in there, and they failed. And I quickly realized that's my fault.
Yeah.
I did not get them ready. So just seeing somebody with leadership potential does not remove the need for leadership development.
Wow.
And I would say we meet businesses all the time that don't do any equipping, don't do any developing of people. They believe in it, but they don't do it. Schools, colleges, universities, athletic departments, that leadership is on the marble wall of the administration building.
Yeah.
And then they don't have a plan to do it. So you're right. This is the accumulation of actually decades of thought of just secrets that we picked up mostly by failure or just doing it not quite.
Yeah, because I think we all have success stories, sure, right? We can point back to, hey, I did this and it really succeeded. But oftentimes the story that doesn't get told is the stories of the students we didn't develop as well. Yeah. I know I have those kinds of stories, and yeah, I know you do too.
Well, very often at events, I'll talk about the story of Richard. Richard was one of our success stories. Richard was this shy, introverted kid that I just knew had potential and worked with him, took him through different stages, and he became a leader of leaders by the time I moved away from San Diego. But for every one Richard, there were probably 10 others. I will now grace the audience today with some failure stories that will give you hope, but also give you my takeaway along the way.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so we're going to walk through really our 10 secrets of what does it mean to do leadership development, especially with the next generation. And I know you have a very unique perspective on this. And like you said, maybe each of these principles was kind of developed year after year and decade after decade of just practicing it and really getting a framework for understanding what does it take to move, especially a young person, from no leadership really practiced at all to all of a sudden they're a leader of leaders like Richard. So
absolutely.
Tim, walk us through this.
All right. The first one is probably going to sound a little pithy, but I believe it's just pregnant with meaning. The phrase is simply this: we believe leadership development is an inside job before it's an outside job. Now, here's why this is profound. Almost all the leadership instruction, and it wasn't much early on, but what I did get it was all about skills.
Yep.
It was external behaviors. Do this and you'll be a leader. Do that and you'll be a leader. So it was communicate well, strategize well, plan well, et cetera, et cetera. But I discovered along the way, especially with young leaders, even if you give them the right behaviors, but they don't think like a leader on the inside, it's just not become part of their being. It's just their doing. It's behavior modification at best. And then it goes away when they're not on, like when it's not 9 to 5. They don't act like a leader after 5. Well, you can't have one life when you're on and one life. We've learned that with the presidents down through American history. You can't do two lives. So inside job simply means I'm going to work on their being. I'm going to work on their thinking, the moral compass they have on the inside. I'm going to help them lead themselves well before they try to lead anybody else. And even though this won't bear fruit right away, it's going to be over time, not overnight. I know I'm going to have a young man or a young woman that thinks like a leader.
Yeah.
And I think if you think right, you'll eventually act right.
I love that. Well, I was just reading one of our most classic Habitudes, The Iceberg, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in that one, we talk about the 10% people can see our skills, but there's the 90% people can't see.
Yeah.
And one of the most profound things I think you say in that chapter is that it is what's below the surface that sinks the ship, that can mess us up. But it's also what's below the surface that supports the tip, right?
Yeah.
When we've done that inside job, it it basically gives us permission to succeed in some external ways. So it's not just about time management and how well I communicate, but if I take care of those internals, if I focus on my character and my integrity and so many of those really important concepts like values, that actually gives me permission then to become a better leader.
So when we partner with a school or a business, we might say, let's work for a while just on their private disciplines, you know, and that's not very glitzy.
Yeah.
And some company might say, nah, we're going to go straight to the skills. And I would say, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But that also means you got to start a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just thinking about if you're working on your first leadership development process is all internal, then it's going to be a while maybe before they're ready for that external leadership. But I love that still. Yeah. It's really important.
Yeah. It's far and away number one.
I love that. Okay, number two.
The second one is, quite simply, it's a process more than an event. Here, this one dawned on me probably in the late 80s when I started realizing that so many universities, for instance, have leadership lecture series, or a high school that might have a school assembly, or maybe a Christian school might have a chapel, and they say, we're going to emphasize leadership now, leadership emphasis week, or whatever it is. Well, you and I both know that's a great thought, but the best that can do is maybe be a little bit of a catalyst, but if you don't have follow-up afterwards, life is going to go right back to normal.
Yeah.
So we've all attended events, retreats, conferences, summits, symposiums, you know, forums.
Yeah.
And we're all excited. We might even have goosebumps. But then we go home, we put the notebook on the shelf, and nothing changes. So when we work with schools, we now really don't much want to go in unless they're willing to think through the process following that great conference we're about to have them do. And that's why we developed Habitudes again. It's just one tool, but it's a tool to start conversations and application after the event.
I love that. I love that. I think a lot of people start down the leadership journey, and the first question that they ask is, okay, how are we going to kick this thing off? And that's, we always say, the event is actually quite important, right? Mm-hmm. It's the catalyst for the process that follows. But the reality is that when most people think about, let's do great leadership, they think, let's bring in the best speaker we can find, put them on stage, and magic's going to happen, and everything's going to change.
Yeah.
And the reality is, we're human beings, and it's really only through habit that we actually create change in our lives.
Yeah. So the way we've often said it is, the event motivates people, but the process matures people.
Mm.
So that's really what we're talking about. Both are necessary. Neither one's bad. You got to have both, though.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. All right, next one.
Number three, our third philosophy of leader development is simply this. We believe it's a right brain function before it's a left brain function. Now, we believe both are important, so that's why we put the word before. It's not instead of. But the reason we put this is because, again, as we work with so many institutions, we find that leadership training becomes a very didactic, factual, A plus B equals C type of equation. And while those are not bad, it doesn't engage the imagination of the learner. So by saying it's a right brain before it's a left brain, we think both hemispheres are important, but right brain means we're going to engage them at the imagination level. In fact, maybe with an image. You know, that's what our habitudes engage them with, images. Maybe it's with conversation. Maybe it's with song. But we start there, and now we have their hearts, and then we move to the brain. So we know now in brain research with MRIs that there's a lot of overlap now in the left brain, right brain.
Yeah.
But clearly there's two functions our brain has, and we think you got to do right before left.
Yeah, and I mean, how many conferences have we sat in that are kind of all analytical, all top-down knowledge? Yeah. And there's a reason we don't remember a whole lot from those conversations, is they just weren't as motivating. So it almost seems... It can feel anti-academic, but that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is it's about where you begin, right?
Yep.
And through that conversation, that right brain conversation where we're a little bit more engaged, we're actually inspired to continue learning and engaging.
I'm actually glad you said that. I think one of the reasons why people maybe push back against imagery or story or even music, that doesn't feel very academic. It doesn't feel very scholarly or robust or rigorous. All those words we love in higher education.
Yeah.
But actually, it's just a place of beginning. Yeah.
Of course.
And so you start in a fun and engaging way, and now you've got them to go as deep as you want and need to go. But you start where they are.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. Number four. The fourth one is, we believe that leader development is more about a disposition than a position. Now, this is simple and quick to explain. But I found, and I think you have too, as you meet with students, a lot of them disqualify themselves from leadership because they think, well, I don't have a title.
Yeah.
I don't have a role. I don't have a badge, you know. And we just believe it starts by learning a disposition, a way of looking at life and approaching life where I do see the big picture and I do think long term and I do take the high road with others. Well, that's automatically puts you in a place of influence. So now you have this disposition. People want to give you a position.
Absolutely.
So we just believe schools, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot if you say it's all about, we need 6 more people to fill these leadership positions. And my gosh, maybe you get a good one that might come in as with a strong will or something. But if we teach this, and that's why, Andrew, we teach this disposition perhaps to an entire student body. Mm. And then from there, they're handpicking the resident advisors, the student council, the SGA, the team captains, the club leaders.
Love it.
I think when the tide goes up, all the boats go up.
Yeah, and we say that all the time. Wouldn't you love to have a school full of kids who think and act like leaders, yeah. You know? But yeah. Most wise people on leadership define leadership as influence. And so I think for a lot of us, in terms of dispositional leadership, we're just asking, who are the young people that are just naturally influencing other people? And I think that's a better place to start than I've given you this, you know, director of or leader of or president of.
No doubt about it. All right. The next one, number 5, our 5th philosophy of leader development, also accrued over time. We believe leader development is learned through both uploading and downloading.
Mm.
So this one flies in the face of what I like to do and what most teachers like to do, and that's to teach. That's to instruct, to talk. And while you can disseminate information faster than any other way by teaching or talking, we just think real learning today especially happens through interaction. So you're downloading some content, but then you let them upload their own thoughts, perhaps in conversation or interaction. And I think the more we do that, yes, it's going to take longer. Yeah, it'll be a bit messy. Yes, they'll probably say something goofy, but you got student engagement. As soon as you let them talk, Andrew, isn't it true when we do pre and post assessments with Habitudes and we ask students, what was your favorite part? It wasn't the content that you or I came up
with. As much as we love that.
Yes, it was, we got to talk.
Yep.
Which tells you they don't get to talk very much usually because they're telling us.
They would only bring that up if it wasn't true normally. Well, what's amazing to me also about this is something you realized years and years and years ago. I would say as time has gone on and generations are shifting, this is actually becoming even more vital than it ever was because you've got a generation, both in millennials and Generation Z, who are so used to giving feedback and participating and being part of the conversation that honestly, it feels like they're missing something if they don't have it.
No, you're right. Absolutely. This is their preferred method of anything going on in their life. All right, ready for number 6?
Let's do it.
The 6th bit of philosophy on our leader development is this. We believe it's about an experience, not just an explanation. This again flies in the face of the person that loves to just explain things, and you're looking at him right now across the table here. I love to explain things. In fact, to use that old phrase, if you ask me what time it is, I might tell you how to build a watch, you know? And you go, way too much, way too much. So I learned, and we did that. We learned this by hosting leadership academies, where we brought college students into Atlanta from all over the country, and we had them do adventure learning, ropes courses. We had them take assessments, do field trips, go to the world of Coca-Cola, Chick-fil-A, Home Depot, Delta, and just have experiences. And we saw when you have an experience first, oh my goodness, what a great dialogue you have afterwards.
Absolutely.
The explanation can come and probably will come from them because they won't need you to do it. So this is actually a bit of the Thayer method at West Point.
Okay.
At West Point, if you're an instructor, the first rule of instruction is you can't instruct. Did you know that?
That's what they tell that's interesting.
Yeah, you can't instruct. So they give them a project first, something to do, an assignment, if you will, before they ever do a class talk. And then the students report to each other, so they're teaching each other. Then the prof guides and facilitates. But can you imagine how fun that would be? And you know, think about how much more incentivized you are to learn because you flubbed up on that project. Yeah. You thought you knew it all until you tried it. So again, I just want to underscore listeners, provide environments and experiences before the explanation.
Yeah, it reminds me of something that we put into Marching Off the Map, which was that that switch from traditional pedagogy to transformational, where we are no longer commanders, just explaining everything, right? Yeah. But instead, we're consultants.
Yes.
We're letting them have the experience and serving alongside. So
I love that too.
Okay,
number seven. We believe leader development is about relationships before it's about results.
Mm, this one's so big.
It is. And I don't think anybody listening would say, I fundamentally disagree with that. But I do know leadership is about results. You're not a leader unless you're getting results.
Yeah. If there's nobody behind you,
that's right. You're
not
really
following
that. Yeah, that's right. So we believe that results are necessary, but we have found, and this has taken decades, I'm ashamed to say, that when you put relationships first and the team that you're leading feels very cared for, very equipped, very ready, very prepared, very resourced, then the results will happen.
Naturally.
If you put results first, you might have people feeling like they've just been stepped on, you know, injured, hurt, and good luck with getting them to do anything.
Yeah.
So another way that we said this before, we believe it's about service before it's about success.
Mm.
So leadership is about success, but we think this is servant leadership and first and foremost serving the team. Remember that phrase we've used before? We believe happy staff members create happy customers.
Yeah.
You know, and we try to make sure that we're all really fulfilled in what we're doing here. And the schools we work with will naturally love working with us, I think, because we're such happy people. You know,
yeah.
I want that anyway for our team.
I love that. And I think you lead that way. And all the best leaders are the ones who aren't just great at explaining leadership principles, but who lead their team through relationship.
Yeah.
And I think those kinds of leaders basically have their reputation precede them everywhere they go.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And we've seen this model right here in Atlanta. Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, always said we're putting relationships first. And here was this man that lived 92 years. And, you know, he wasn't the greatest speaker in the world when he was hitting 90, but we all wanted to go listen to him because we had a relationship. You know, he said something, did something, gave us money, something. He did something for us.
Yeah.
And relationship that made us want to follow.
I love that.
Yeah. Good. All right. Number eight. We're making our way through the 10. We believe something that you have probably said, listeners, 100 times. We believe leader development is more caught than taught. Now, this has been said about many topics, you know. In fact, probably it's true, most things are more caught than taught. You know, I'd rather catch it by seeing you do it and doing it with you and so forth. Parents need to hear this all the time. You can give your kids those lectures on Thursday about punctuality or cell phone use or whatever, but if you're on your phone and you're a little bit late, forget the talks that you just gave. They just are hollow at best.
Yeah. So you got to live out what you're saying,
exactly
practice
right.
what you're preaching, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of leaders who, you know, have a lot of things they want their followers to know, but don't actually practice them.
Yeah.
So what a healthy reminder for us.
I think it was John Maxwell that first taught me this when I first went to work for him in 1983. Very quickly, he said, Tim, the number one management principle in the world is very simple. People do what people see.
Love it.
Yeah, and it's simple, but boy, is it profound. And there's probably people living, leading Fortune 500 companies that need to relearn that because, you know, we get in our lofty ivory tower, and now we got all kinds of things going on, and we lose touch with the people on the ground.
Yeah, that's so important. Write that down on your mirror. People do what people see.
That's right. All right, number nine. We got two more to go. Number nine, the ninth philosophy of leader development is this. We believe it's learned best in community, not isolation.
Mm.
Now, you and I added this later, Andrew, remember, because we found so many learning online, and we believe in learning online. You can learn things on a computer or on a tablet. But boy, leadership is so much about people and relationships and conflict resolution and casting vision and, you know, all the things that go with emotional intelligence. We've yet to be able to find a way to master that on a screen.
Yeah. You can't really get there with just you and YouTube, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly, yeah. So while we believe that some nuggets and principles you can pick up in isolation, we just think if you're wanting to develop leaders, you've got to create communities, small clusters of people that aren't just a group, they're a team. They're a cluster of people that know and are known. So they really get to know each other. Maybe you need to create some, I don't know, crowd breakers or icebreakers where they get to know each other. But boy, do things, good things happen when people really begin to trust each other. In fact, I think leadership operates on the basis of trust.
Yeah.
And it only travels as fast as trust. So that's why the community thing is so big. And you and I both have been in not so good and some very good trusting environments.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that people are doing is, you know, just because we really believe that relationship is a key part of this, right?
Yes,
you can't
be alone and
do that.
Yeah.
That you could still do some of the learning digitally, right? You could still do some of the processing information, but really it's that when we talk about life change, when people really develop as leaders, it's they do that in a community of people.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Okay. So there's one more to go.
Let's do it.
The last one we saved till last for a bit of a reason. It's again, not rocket science, but maybe you've never thought about it and said it out loud, listeners. We believe leader development is more about small groups than about big groups.
Yeah.
Now, this is a second cousin to the one before about isolation and community. You can have community, but you might have such a gigantic group, you're still not going to have a lot of success in developing leaders because it's just a crowd, not a community. So community happens, I believe, when you break down the crowd into clusters where you've got a circle, not a row. See, crowds can be done in rows, right? We've all been a big theater before where we look at the backs of the heads of the people in front of us. But now we're in circles, and we have life change happen because we're in this smaller cluster exchanging ideas, talking, debating, disagreeing, getting mad maybe, but eventually fighting for what we believe.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget John McCauley saying first, there is no life change without life exchange. And I believe that's true. We've made that a mantra here. We believe you've got to exchange life if your life is really going to change. So you've got to create this small group, even if you've got a big group. Break it down. Basketball teams of 15, break them into five groups of three.
Yeah.
Baseball teams of 25, break it down to five groups of five, whatever. You know. But you've just got to do that to really, I think, make life happen.
Yeah, it makes me think of one of the things that you really taught me whenever I'm, you know, speaking to a bigger crowd is just to take a moment and turn that big crowd into a group of smaller crowds, you know, three or four, get with people and have a conversation.
Yeah.
What's funny is you can be at some of the most prestigious places in the world, right? You do this and people come up and they're like, wow, that was such an innovative idea.
Yeah.
It's like, all I did was make small groups out of a big group.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there's something about that, that's powerful.
Absolutely, yeah. So these are the 10, Andrew, that over the years, Growing Leaders are now 15 years old, but this has been, brewing for since 1979. These at least seem to be 10 statements that seem to work, that if you implement them, you get the job done, and you have a young person that may not have even had leadership on the radar screen.
Yeah.
Like me in college, I never had it once brought up to me. But I knew I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to change the world and all that, those silly things we say as young people. But when I got on a journey like this, it began to take root. And I believe that there's potential everywhere we go to see this happen.
I love that. I think these are we call these secrets not because they're difficult to understand, but because they're just not practiced that often.
Yeah.
So I would just want to encourage you listeners. Thank you so much, Tim, for the wisdom that you shared with us. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know what? I need to start applying that stuff. I just want to encourage you. Those are very applicable principles. Mm-hmm. Put them into practice this week. And if you're sitting there and you're listening and you're thinking, you know what? I want more of that. You know, Tim and I love to talk about these kind of leadership things. Well, we offer an event that I think could be a really great way for you to kind of dig in deeper to what does it look like to build a culture of leadership in your school or organization. We call it our Habitudes Intensive. And what it is it's a two-day event hosted by Growing Leaders. And we're doing five a year right now those two-day intensives. And what you do
all over the country.
All over the country, yeah. And you get to spend time with Tim and our team at Growing Leaders and really just learn about leadership and about habitudes. What does it look like to develop young leaders? How do we understand them? How do we lead them well?
Yeah.
So if you're out there listening, thinking, I would really love to dig in deeper to this subject, that could be a really great way for you to do that.
Absolutely.
So if you go to growingleaders.com and look for Habitudes Intensive, you'll be able to sign up for that. We have them upcoming right now. So we'd love for you to join that. And as always, if you have comments or questions, please send us an email at podcast@growingleaders.com. Thank you again, Tim, for leading us in this conversation and for helping us understand what it means to be a leader and not just lead others, but to develop leaders, especially at young people. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.